Chicago Tomahawk. I'm Mike, and today I'm doing a solo run. Matt had some things that he needed to take care of, and here we go. I'm going to be covering the Blackhawks' last two games, and I'm going to give you some NHL news. So, Blackhawks' last two games, they beat Columbus, a 4-2 win, and they beat Montreal last night. So we're on a three-game winning streak so far, and this is exactly what we need as a team. This team needs to have some positivity going through the rest of the season. They've had a lot of trials and tribulations, and hopefully this team is getting what it needs to stick. We still have two big players out on COVID protocol. That is Seth Jones and Jake McCabe. But we are doing with what we have, and we've won the past three games. So I'm going to start off with the Columbus game, 4-2 win. DeBrincat, two goals. One was an open, empty net. Connor Murphy had one goal. Calvin DeHaan scored his first goal of the season. And Stillman had two assists. So this game, it's been the tale of what we have seen a lot recently. The Blackhawks have had a very bad lackluster period one. Pretty much good enough just to get them through that beginning of the game. And then the second and third period, very solid. So the second period play, they really lock things up. And this seems to be a team that is maybe transitioning from a run-and-gun type of team to being more of a defensive-minded type of a team. Now, that could be because of the players that they have. It could be because, you know, that they're snake-bitten. We have players that aren't scoring, so we need to buckle up defensively. I thought that they played a really strong game through and through. It wasn't pretty, but they played strong, and they beat a very talented, tough team. Columbus has been playing great, you know, pretty much through the season. They had a really great start, saw some trouble, but they're still a tough team to play against. Moving on to the Montreal game. Now, this, I would call it a more, this is a more hyped up game because Lucas Reichel made his NHL debut. Now, I'm not trying to put anything down on Columbus because I think that they've been a team that has had some trouble, but that was kind of like a mid-season type of game. You know, you're kind of in the dog days of winter, and it was just a regular, say, 4-2 game, nothing really exciting. But with this Montreal game, we finally got to see Lucas Reichel make his NHL debut. I thought that he played really, really well. He created a few opportunities, and to be honest with you, he didn't look out of place out there. Big thing for him, he had a nice move that he made to take the game. He almost scored on one point, but he didn't. I had some really nice passes, and it's really nice to see him get in there. I hope that this is just a, you know, kind of like a 9-game streak just to get him into the NHL, seeing what it's like, because the speed of the game is very, very different in the NHL than it is the AHL. But I still think that he needs to take the time that he has in the AHL to kind of get used to playing in America and getting used to that a long season, so that he can have a really good off season, you know, build himself up so he can get a little weight on him and take his game to the next level. I mean, that's what I'm looking for him to do. This is a hotly contested topic because the Hawks, they need offense, and a lot of people in the fandom really want to see this kid make the jump. Me and Matt both don't think that this is a great idea because Kirby Doc, I don't think, was developed properly. He came into the league and he's still, I think, kind of struggling to kind of find his place in the game. I think if he would have had a little bit more time to kind of settle in, maybe in the AHL, and then bring him up, it would have been better. But I want things done with Lucas Reichel. As of right now, the Hawks are trying to play for a playoff spot, but they need to go on a very long, a very long run, a long winning streak to even be in the conversation of taking one of those spots and then contending with some of the bigger teams out there. So I think Lucas Reichel should take his time, develop in the AHL, at the bare minimum, at least a season. Give him a taste of the NHL right now, like I said, the 9 games, and then move him back down because he's been having a great season down there, and I don't want his development to stop, essentially. So moving on, Kubelik opened up the scoring of the game from a nice pass from Taser. It's it's good to finally see this guy start getting some goals. It's been a few games since his last goal, but hopefully he can get going. Hopefully the Jonathan Taves can get going. You know, he's had a few goals, you know, a few games ago, but I want to see them passing. I want to see Taser passing, setting people up, and it'd be really nice to get a 1-2 punch of Taser setting up Kubelik, kind of like what we have going on with Kaner setting up DeBrincat, because DeBrincat has been really carrying the team, being the only guy scoring goals for us, and it's really showed. Kane looked to be really pushing. He's been very, very frustrated because he hasn't been able to light up the net, man. And it's really troublesome because Kane is a guy that he gets frustrated. He's a guy who's very, very competitive, and he might be taking on too much of a load from the team to try to push it forward and carry it. You know, we've had some games where we need some scoring in the end just to tie it up, maybe take it into overtime, and we haven't gotten that scoring. We've had some games where we've had it late and then lost it in overtime. And you know, that's one of those things where you want the team to kind of get over those losses, because those are heartbreakers. And Kane hasn't been scoring, and I think that he has just been taking maybe a little bit too much, trying to carry too much of the load. Good news is he scored tonight. He got a goal. It was great to see. He's very, very active. He was all over the place. I thought that he was back checking very well tonight. And it's really great to see, man. You know, he had a couple passes that I thought that he didn't need to make because he's trying to push, but he needs to just play his game, and he needs to just maybe just relax, and the goals will come, and keeps on setting up DeBrincat, you know, because he is playing well still. So the Hawks in general in this game had a very, very active first period, which has been very different from what they've been doing previously. Very active. Montreal didn't get a shot on goal until the first 15 minutes of the game. It was incredible. I think we ended the first period, Montreal, 2 shots on goal, and the Blackhawks had like 13. It was pretty much the Blackhawks show in the first period. And then oddly, it became the Montreal show in the second period. I don't know what it is with the Hawks, if they have 2 periods in them, and maybe they need to just... I don't have a good first period, have a bad second period, and finish it off with a strong third period. But typically, they've been having a rough first period and then finishing off with a strong second and third. In the second period, Montreal, they scored 2 goals from Mike Hoffman and Jeff Petrie, and it kind of took the wind out of the sails a little bit. You know, I just kind of felt that we're back on our heels, and really weren't pushing. But the Blackhawks, they turned it around in the third period. They kind of shored up their defense a little bit. Mind you, you know, we're without Seth Jones and Jake McCabe. And there was one instance where, who was it? Lafferty, new acquirement from Pittsburgh. He was playing. Actually, I thought that he didn't look bad. He was he was pretty much all over the place, man. I thought the guy was very noticeable. He took a rough hit, and Carpenter came right in, threw down the gloves, had a couple really great hits, and I think that got the team going. It was really nice to see that, you know, the team sticking up for each other, especially a new guy like Lafferty on the team. I know that probably makes him feel that he's supported by the players, and you know that's important. So it was we were able to tie it up in the third period, which was really, really big for us. And we took it into overtime. The defense looked good for the most part, except for one instance where Riley Stillman, who I'm a big fan of, had an opportunity to block a shot. He did not. That led to the second goal in the second period, that where Montreal took the lead. He was in a position to block it. He didn't. And Fleury could not make the save. So we heads into overtime. Kurashev, who was predicted by Eddie O at the beginning of the game, was going to get a goal. he comes in, scores an overtime goal. It had to be reviewed. And to be honest with you, they were reviewing whether he was onside or not. It was really, really close on him being onside. The officiating determined that he was. He crashed the net, scored. Blackhawks win 3-2. It was, for the most part, you know, kind of a back and forth, a seesawter type of game on, you know, who is kind of pressing or not. I don't see the Canadians as a contender. I thought this was a game that the Blackhawks should win, and they did. I thought that they should have won it in regulation, which they didn't. But hey, a win is a win, and we'll take what we can get. So, Hagel was very noticeable in the game. Gustafsson, I saw him out there. I thought that he made a couple good plays. They are back from COVID protocol. So is Kevin Lankinen, Curtis Gabriel, Mike Hardman, and Josiah Slavin, as well as goaltenders Cale Morris and Arvid Soderblom have been reassigned to Rockford. Nicholas Bowden has also been assigned to the taxi squad. He is another player that I would kind of like to get into for a second. Nicholas Bowden is on the taxi squad, and I would really like to see this kid and Ian Mitchell getting day-to-day minutes in Rockford. Yeah, I know that they're practicing with the big team, and I understand that. I understand that we need a taxi squad. But you know what? These guys, in order to develop properly, they need to be playing every single day, top-line minutes, and I think that they need it. Coming next year, I would really like to see Nicholas Bowden, Ian Mitchell, and Lucas Reichel make the team. You know, and another player that we kind of have left out is Wyatt Kalinuk. You know, he had the unfortunate circumstance of getting injured, at the beginning of the season in camp. We could probably throw it to Colladen for putting him into, you know, having such a rough camp. But he has been kind of forgotten about, sent down to Rockford. And he was supposed to have made the team this year. And I think that he did make the team, but he got injured. He played a couple of games and he's been sent down. I think that we can bring Kalinuk up to the taxi squad, leave Bowden and Mitchell down there and let them play every night, because I think that these kids need the development down there more than Kalinuk does. And I think Kalinuk needs more of an opportunity to get into the lineup. Calvin DeHaan, I think, is pretty much been the reason why one of these guys is not playing every night. Calvin DeHaan has been playing solid. He lacks a lot of speed, but he has been positioning himself very, very well recently, and he's been blocking a ton of shots. So I don't, earlier, if you would have said maybe 10 games ago, 10, 12 games ago, I would say he has no place on the roster. Now, seeing the way that he's playing, blocking shots, playing pretty responsible as pretty much solely a defensive-minded defenseman, I think that he's earned his spot, and he's been playing very, very well. So we should keep Bowden and Ian Mitchell down to the AHL, give them the rest of the season to develop, and at the end of the season, if we make the playoffs, yeah, sure, go ahead and bring them up to the to the taxi squad. So on from the Blackhawks and on to some NHL news. Connor McDavid, yes, I said it correctly. I did not say McGregor, was released from COVID protocol. So how long is it going to take for him to bounce back from COVID? There's been no word on whether he had a hard time with COVID his recovery, but he says that he feels good, and the Edmonton Oilers need him. They are desperate for offense. They are so desperate that they signed Evander Kane, and I'm curious to seeing how he is settling with Edmonton. They've got some vets there that can hopefully keep him in line, but you never know what an Evander Kane type player can do to a team like Edmonton. Is he going to show up and start scoring points? Because that's what they need. You know, they need some secondary scoring, because it's the Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl show there. And if it's not them, you know, they're not really getting any offense from the second, third, and fourth line, which is very concerning, because we're talking about a team where they have arguably two of the top, at least the top four players in the world. And this team, if they make the playoffs, will not go far. They have some serious goaltending issues, but they seem to be thinking that they need to add more offense, which they do. And to be honest with you, Edmonton has some serious issues at this point in the season, heading into what we need to be, what they need to be doing as a push to the playoffs. Tuukka Rask has won his first game back against the Flyers in a 3-2 affair. Looks like the guy is just picking up from where he left off from last season. I'm not sure what's going on here, if Boston is just trying to give the guy a little time off, you know, from last year to bring him in at the end to try to make a push for the playoffs. But it looks like he is needed, and he looks like he doesn't have any rust on him at all. Braden Schneider scored his first goal in the NHL for the Rangers, and Shesterkin got a shutout and a win over the Sharks. What goes up definitely must come down, because the Penguins lost to the Kings 6-2 Thursday night. Kopitar had 2 goals. Dustin Brown had his 700th point, and Jonathan Quick had 27 saves in the win. The Penguins have been on a bit of a tear recently. I believe they had a 9 or 10 game winning streak where they've been pretty much just handling everybody that they have that they've been playing. But they had to come down to reality, and we'll see if they can bounce back, or hopefully, you know, for their sake, they don't head into an extended losing streak. Chris Letang extended his point streak in the game to 6 games, and Tristan Jarry allowed 6 goals on 45 shots. The Blues beat the Kraken in a come-from-behind win, which seems to be, you know, their MO recently. Both goals came in the third period. You know, just, you know, these guys are just breaking hearts on these teams that they're playing, because they're scoring goals late, and they're taking over some games that maybe they should be losing, and they're winning. The Blues are a tough team. I think that they're a team to look out for in the Central. They're a team that that will fight all the way to the end, and I think that they're going to be a juggernaut to deal with come towards the end of the season, and possibly at the beginning of the playoffs. You know, this coming year, I did not see the Ducks being, you know, what they are, and I knew that the Blues would be good, but you know, they're turning out to be a tough team to turn wins against. So that's pretty much what I got for you today, guys. I'm really looking forward to seeing what the Blackhawks have going on going forward. Reminder, we still have Seth Jones and Jake McCabe in the COVID protocol. Not sure when they're coming back or how long it's going to be, but we've got a defensive core that's being led by Connor Murphy and Calvin DeHaan right now. So hopefully these guys can keep it up. We're at 3 games of a win streak so far. We need to keep it going. We need to stop the win-loss-win-loss-loss-loss-win-loss-win type of a deal of what we've been having, and get a good streak going. I think this team can do it. Once they do that, I think they're going to get their confidence going. A lot of players are going to get really confident on this team, and we're going to be pushing, and we can push for one of those, maybe for that wild card playoff spot. So I think the Hawks can do it. We'll see. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. I'm very, very appreciative. Matt is very, very appreciative. He'll be back on the next podcast that we do. And do us a favor. If this is your first time listening, hit the subscribe button. It really helps out the podcast. We will be back on next Tuesday. And take it easy, everybody. This is the Tomahawk, and we're out of here.